you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. We are in this series on God's will is to do what? Somebody remember this? That's good. How much of the time does God want to bless us?
All of the time.
All right, now we're waiting. All of the time. But you know, we honestly don't believe that. And it is vitally important. So in the middle of this study, we have taken the time to take a session on each beatitude. This was at the beginning of Christ's ministry and the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount here. And he really does throw the people listening to him, because this is not what they envision as being the tenets of the kingdom. They have a much more earthy, temporal, political idea than what the Lord is talking about here, which is strictly spiritual. And I'm going to go and I will review in the middle of this session, because it's important. So I'm not going to do that now. We're just going to go right to the attitude that we want to speak on here today. And that is verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I think most of us know the ultimate end of man. The Shorter Catechism talks about that. Many of you memorized that when you were younger. And man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Well, in this beatitude, you actually have that here. You have the fact of enjoying Him forever. Here, the pure in heart shall what? See God. And you have the matter of glorifying Him, that those who are pure in heart. So the very essence of what the Christian life is all about really begins to come into focus by the time we get to this beatitude. But we need to ask some questions. What does pure of heart mean? Well, let's talk about what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean innocence. Okay? Sometimes innocence is a wonderful thing in the when it's God inspired, but mankind from the fall, well, we're doomed for that one. It's not what it means. It doesn't mean outward conformity either. We're talking about pure in heart. Those who are pure in heart will be pure in lifestyle, very obviously. The Lord, in fact, condemned making the outward conformity the judge of spirituality. The Lord said unto him, speaking to the Pharisees, "Now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward heart is full of ravening and wickedness." Rather strong statement there. So we're definitely not talking about outward conformity, though pure heart will be holiness and lifestyle. We are not talking about reformation, man-centered endeavoring to do the best you can. And so a lot of people, when reading this, that's what they're thinking. They're thinking of a human-centered conformity to something, and somehow that's going to cause them to see God, and that's why there's so much frustration. Now, we know that religious people looking for salvation, this is their number one problem. But honestly, it's a big problem for believers also. Trying to earn your spirituality instead of realizing it is just as much grace as was your salvation. And I'll talk about that in a minute here. So, pure of heart, what is it speaking of here? Well, we're talking about a genuine purity within your very person, your inward man. And this is very important for us to understand that what we're talking about here is that our person, our mind, our will, our emotions, our everything about who we are as a genuine person created in God's image, that is under the control of the Spirit of God, who is holy, and it is devoted, it is single-minded, it is pure in all aspects of it, in its heart toward God, not of self. It is not just an intellectual understanding. It's not just knowing things. It is an absolute inner trust in God in which our inner being is single-minded without any other self aspect. It is those who have that pure heart to know God, love Him, be surrendered to Him, they are the ones that see God. Now, wow, that's quite the thought. And let me give you some things that will encourage you, because you can't do that. But did you know, and this, what we're dealing with here is a very important principle. Did you know that God wants you to know God moment by moment every day? That it's a very real matter. But it is to the pure in heart. You cannot be double-minded. You cannot be double-hearted. You cannot have a mixture in your life. We are speaking here of an inner devotion, consecration, yieldedness, trust to God, in which He is the most important part of our life. Now, is this possible? Well, yes, absolutely. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, if you would. Hold your place here. Ephesians chapter 4. And we find some help here. Ephesians 4 gets into the practical application of the great privilege we have of being part of the body of Christ. And verses 1 to 16 talk about walking worthy so that we can be, utilizing our spiritual gifting, verse 7, we can be used of God as the pastor, teacher gifts, evangelist gifts, equip us to do the work of the ministry. But then we're warned, starting in verse 17, that we can walk as we used to walk if we don't watch out. Well, that means we're going to be useless for the cause of Christ. That's the whole context there, verses 17 to 20, but you have not so learned Christ. And then we have the admonition that we are to have a different lifestyle, and we are to put off the old and to put on the new. And look at verse 24, which is a verse often quoted, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. I believe very, very clearly from the scripture that our spirit, which is our inner spiritual being, is what will live forever. And again, it's hard to divide out spirit and soul and so forth. But our spirit, when we're saved, we become a new creation. We are given life. We are given true life. And here it says we're created in righteousness and true holiness. We're born again. Wow. I now am no longer cut off from God. My spirit is no longer spiritually dead. I have been given new life. I am born from above, which means that in my spirit, I am created in righteousness and true holiness. That's why the Holy Spirit can indwell. Have you ever thought about that? The Holy Spirit cannot indwell something unclean, but He can indwell our spirit because it's been regenerated. I don't understand all that, but I'm just thrilled about it. That the Holy Spirit indwells me, and that my new man is a new creation. Hallelujah. You know, when you think about all the, when you look at ourselves, we groan in our fallen state, but we have an earnest of our inheritance, our spirit. Has been born again. We're a child of God. We're a co-heir with Christ. We will live with Him forever. It's a glorious reality. So we have to make the decision to allow the Holy Spirit, in our new man, to control our personhood. Either our principle of sin, the flesh, will control, or our spirit, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, can control. Now, the exciting thing is, folks, that God has won a great victory. And we look at, and one thing that's very dangerous to think about is this idea of two equal things, my old nature, my new nature, and, you know, whatever I feed, it'll be a little bit stronger. No, no, no. Now, we're talking here about purity. Purity is without a void. Purity is single-minded. Purity is pure. Well, what does this mean? What this means is that either the Holy Spirit is in control or my fleshly nature is in control. Neither can be controlling at the same time, obviously. And the good news is, it's not like the old illustration of two dogs battling each other. It's like an atomic bomb versus a pea shooter. Okay? I mean, really? No, a pea shooter can hurt. It can be effective at times. But let's take a BB gun. Maybe that would be a little more real. BB gun is dangerous. But an atomic bomb, I mean, there's no comparison. Folks, when the Holy Spirit's in charge, hallelujah, you are in good shape. When he's not, the flesh is still powerful. That's the point. They're not equal. They're not equal. And that means that you can have regular victory if you will stay pure in heart. That's the beauty of this Beatitude. Stay with a heart focused, single-minded, devoted, trusting, depending upon God through the power of the Holy Spirit and not on yourself, and you will live, as we'll see in a minute, in the presence of God. When you're living with the reality of God, you're having victory, and everything is different. So that's why we need to live out the new man and not go back to the old ways. All right, let's go back to our Beatitude. A lot more could be said about that. But blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And so the pure, we talk about the purity of heart. Of course, the power is the Holy Spirit over us. And that means that all false confidences, all self issues, hopes, inner pride, ambitions, they have to be given to the Lord. You know, we don't know our own motives. I'm going to, at some point, speak on 1 Corinthians chapter 2, because we're in the 1 Corinthians series on Sunday night. And there it talks about how we really don't know our own heart. And that that's why God gives us trials, that's why God keeps teaching us and working. We don't realize how self-focused, what our motives really are, how we cope, how we live life, even with a right perspective, we still are controlled not by the Holy Spirit, but by mixed motives in our lives. And so I like the word pure of heart, because not only does it speak of the beauty of the purity and holiness of God, but it goes much deeper than that. We're talking about an absolute 100% consecration to God, in which knowing God and glorifying God is more important than life itself. You've got to do it. I mean, if you don't come to that point of surrender in your life, this Beatitude doesn't make sense. And so it's done by the Lord. Now, if you look back, I told you I would review for a moment how the Holy Spirit works in all of this. You go back to the first one about being poor in spirit, understanding our absolute spiritual poverty. Who convicts us of our need for God? Holy Spirit. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. And so it begins there. Then, blessed are they that mourn. Who causes us to be under conviction and realize our need of God? Again, it's the work of God, the Spirit, in our heart. Blessed are the meek. Who overcomes our desire for our rights, our way, and causes us to truly be yielded to him and to have our life under his control? Obviously, the Spirit of God. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Where does that thirst come from? Where does that hunger come from? The more we yield, the more that's a reality by the power of God. Blessed are the merciful, and so forth. So you can see it sort of culminates into this. When we let God do this kind of work that we've talked about here for a couple of months, then you come to this really, this great highlight, the attitude, blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see. I found in the ministry, if a person comes to a place of yieldedness, where God is real to them for any period of time, they'll never be the same. They may really struggle, but we have a new paradigm. you've heard me say this before, if a teenager sees God, he may struggle again, but he's not going to be the same. And I can tell when Christians just now have not seen God. That's when you worry, are they saved? Because you just don't know. There's no spark there. You just don't know. But a person who's seen God knows it. They'll tell you very quickly, I'm not right with God, by their heart. And so that's why it's the more we see God, the more victory we're going to have, because we don't want to lose the very purpose for which we were created, to know God and to serve Him. And He is the very joy of our life. He's the very reason we were created. And it becomes more and more real to us. So that's why anything that keeps us from having a pure heart is a tragic thing, because we don't see God. Listen, living the Christian life without fellowship with God, it's not an easy thing. The flesh hates Christianity. The Christian life is not a labor, folks. Yes, it's at times it is work, but it is a joy. It is the outspringing of a walk with God. There's liberty there. And so that's very important. Well, let's talk for a minute here then about this matter of seeing God. I need to just talk very elementary about this. When we talk about God, what is a very important verse that defines God in the New Testament? God is a spirit. They that worship him in spirit and truth. And that's when the Lord Jesus was cutting through the false religious ideas of the Samaritan woman who needed the Lord. And she was trying to argue religion. And he said, no, wait a second. No, this is a spiritual matter. God is a spirit. We are created eternal spirits also. Now, that doesn't mean that the body is not good. We are going to have resurrected bodies. 1 Corinthians 15 deals with that. But your whole personhood revolves around the fact that you're an eternal spirit. You are made in the image of God. You have a will. You also are spiritual. In other words, that's the essence of your being. We think of tangible as something I can feel, touch, see. But that which is genuinely valuable and real is that which lasts, right? And that which lasts, that which is eternal, as 2 Corinthians 4 says, is the spiritual. Now, I say all that to say this. The Holy Spirit, God, who is a spirit, indwells our spirit. If our fallen life is under control of the Spirit, and we're not blinded by Satan's delusions and by the falseness of this world, but we are actually thinking spiritually, life that is real is spiritual, what will happen then when it comes to knowing God? He's spirit. When we're living spiritually, he's real. You see, for us, what is real is something real. So we get this idea of going to see this image of God. I don't know if you did yet too much pizza, or you're seeing the wrong spirit, okay? So we're not looking for some special revelation. Now, God can do whatever he wants to do, but that's not how he works, okay? The point is, God's spirit. Did you know, as real a relationship as you have with your spouse or with someone that you love is the real relationship, even that's spiritual. You think about it. Knowing heart to heart. You know, you can truly know God. When you get out of this surface, temporal, limited, earthy existence and begin to wake up to who you are and what really is important, and the Holy Spirit is able to take over, and you have a pure, single-minded heart of devotion to God, all of a sudden the reality of God as a spirit in his essence of who he is as a person now becomes spiritually tangible. It's a hard thing to explain to someone who's not really walked with God. Okay. Remember that time when you really got right with God? Things of the Lord just didn't seem to mean much to you. God dealt with you and he broke down. However he did it. And all of a sudden, the word of God just seemed to leap out at you. you had that sense of his presence. Now, you didn't see anything. You didn't hear anything. But you did. And how many times have preachers said, you know, God told me this. Now, he didn't tell me it audibly, or, you know, I just saw this, but no, I didn't see it visually. But to them, it was spiritually audible, not in a physical voice. It was, you can see Christ when you're spiritually right with God. He's very real. Okay. Well, only those who have pure hearts can have that ongoing relationship. Your relationship with Jesus in heaven is going to be spiritual. And it's going to be an unhindered relationship when we are there. It'll turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I alluded to that, but I'd like to look at one of my dad's most precious verses to him, so therefore it's become precious to me. Paul talks about in chapter 3 about the work of the Spirit and how that we're changed in the same image of glory to glory, even by the Spirit of God. And this is the ministry that God had given to Paul, chapter 4, and that we don't. He said, I'm not on the earthy level, trying to, you know, the regular religious people from a human standpoint, but our gospel is real. And verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our pure of heart. Okay. Has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And we have this treasure in earth. God shines the light of the presence of Christ where? In our hearts. Not emotions in that sense. Not intellectual, though you intellectually understand. It is spiritual. Have you ever been around somebody that's just met with the Lord? There's nothing physical that changed with them, but it's almost like something physical did happen. They have a glow about them. Have you ever seen that? They have met with the Lord. They're free of heart because they're walking with God. And you're touched immediately. Now, isn't their physical presence that's touching you? What is touching you? The glory of God in them. And it's very real. The Spirit communicates with our spirit. I mean, you know the reality of what the Lord has done. And I have the joy of that. When I'm speaking, I will see Jesus as I'm speaking. And it really encourages me because I see the reality spiritually coming out of people, that the truth and their response. And they've been walking with God. I tell you what, I got to see Jesus a couple of times. It's like sitting to a bulldog to a preacher, you know, because when he's present, truth is real. And that's why this is hard to understand, because it's spiritually discerned. Okay. But it does say, if you're pure in heart, what's the promise here of this blessing? You'll see God. You'll see him spiritually. You will see him. And I'm telling you, when you're walking with God, the more you walk with God, the more the little things that keep you from walking with God bother you. This is not a matter of earning anything. It's not a matter of doing all this stuff. It is a matter of keeping yourself right with God because of him, and you love him, and you're asking him to do whatever it takes. And it's not that you even want his presence for your own selfish satisfaction. You realize you need him. My family needs him. People need him. And I want to know more of him because he is precious and he is needed to be seen in the dark world around. Well, I just started, I gotta quit. But I hope that you realize God means what he says. Jesus meant that. If you'll give me your heart, I'll reveal myself to you in your heart. And by the way, folks, if you walk with the Lord at all, when you see Jesus, you'll know what he can do. It'll be more glorious, of course, than what our human minds can comprehend, but I'm not so sure that a person that walks with the Lord is going to be much different than walking over Christ. You walk right into his presence, having been in his presence. It's very special. So he's really sharing his heart here. They didn't understand it, but and we have a hard time of it today. Give our hearts to him. He will enable us to have that kind of fellowship.